Welcome to episode 62 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and stage 6 of the 2007 Amgen Tour of California. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Welcome to part 6 of our week-long coverage of the 2007 Amgen Tour of California. Today's stage 6 was the second longest of the entire week and, according to the riders, one of the toughest. Today I looked at the local angle, talking to the LA County Sheriff's Department and the mayor of the city of Santa Clarita. I also had a conversation with the company that makes the hip replacement that Floyd Landis received. Then, a recap of the day's racing, as well as some comments from Pat McQuaid on the Grand Tour Pro Tour Battle Royale. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Fredcast is brought to you by Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, providing quality products and unparalleled customer service to the cycling community for over 20 years. And here's another reason to shop at Cambria. Use the promo code found in tonight's show notes at www.thefredcast.com for 20% off your entire order at Cambria Bike. Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, they outfit the world. One of the things you're probably tired of hearing me say this week is how amazing the crowds have been along the race course of every stage of this year's 2007 Amgen Tour of California. Well, according to the California Highway Patrol, the guys that have been out on the race course every single day, and by the way, it's the same officers that are here today that started with the race up in Sausalito last Monday. According to those guys, they said that today's crowds were the largest that they've seen, not just this year, but at last year's Amgen Tour of California as well. So you can imagine from a local angle the challenges that must be faced by these local police departments in each of the cities that we end up going through. Now, whether these are just ride-through towns like Los Olivos or Davis or some of the other towns that we've gone through, or start finish towns like, say, San Jose, or today, the finish in Santa Clarita, California. Now, I recall as we were driving through San Jose just a few days ago, and some of the convoy cars were screaming through town. I remember looking at the police officers that had blocked off every single street and watching them looking just a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit unfamiliar with the entire procedure and everything that was going on. Well, that gave me the idea that I should contact my friends at the LA County Sheriff's Department's Santa Clarita Station. That's the station that I volunteer at when I have time. You all know how much sleep I get as a podcaster. Anyway, I contacted my buddies at the LA County Sheriff's Department, and they graciously allowed me to come in and join them at their briefings this morning. There were two briefings, one for the sworn deputies and one for the explorers and volunteers and posse that would be out there helping today. And what was interesting to me, at least initially, was that many of the deputies, as you can imagine, were not very familiar with bicycle racing. When I walked in, Deputy Artie Thompson, who was in charge of the whole affair for the LA County Sheriff's Department Santa Clarita Station, he was explaining the meaning of the word peloton. Now, that seems like a word that you and I know quite well, but as you can imagine, to some of these guys, never having seen a bicycle race before, that was something that they needed to know. Well, after the briefing, I had a chance to sit down with Deputy Thompson and ask him a little bit about the plans that had gone into what the LA County Sheriff's Department was doing today, and this is how that interview went. I'm at the LA County Sheriff's Department Santa Clarita Station. I'm talking to Deputy Artie Thompson. Artie, tell me what your job is here at the station.
I'm a deputy for Santa Clarita Sheriff's Station. I'm the Assistant Reserve Coordinator, and I also do special events.
So, obviously, the Tour of California coming here through here, pretty big event, obviously a special event for you. How long has it been that you've been working on planning for this event?
The planning's taken at least 6 months. We met with the city probably, you know, at that time, and the last week almost every day.
And what kind of resources have you committed to today's event? I saw a lot of people in here at the briefing. Who's here?
We got all the way from as high up as the helicopter, and we've got about 8 horses out there today. We have 9 motorcycles out there. We have probably 20 reserve deputies out there. We have about 10 explorers out there, in addition to probably another 50 regular deputies out there today, along with about 4 sergeants.
Now, that's a huge complement of people, and of course, you got to keep the rest of the city of Santa Clarita safe. Where'd you get all the people?
They're from all over. Primarily, the reserves came from this station, but we have people from all over, from other narcotics and things like that, and court services and things like that, that come out to assist us in this event.
Now, one of the things that we've seen all week is that the California Highway Patrol has been leading the Peloton out and the caravan as they go through the entire route. What's the role of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department once they hit the city of Santa Clarita?
Well, we're trying to have a smooth transition. We're going to pick up with the at the county line with our motorcycles, and then just have a smooth transition by the time they cross the 5 freeway, and we're just going to bring them in at that point.
And, of course, you're blocking off streets and driveways, and I noticed on your ops plan you've got every single driveway that they go past marked and ready to be stopped off. Beyond the traffic control and the general crowd control, well, first, what kind of a crowd are you expecting today?
I've been told that we should expect at least 25,000 people in and around the mall area.
And that's quite a bit in a city that's got roughly about 200,000 people. So that's a huge increase in the population out here. What about contingency plans? Besides the sheriff's department, what other agencies are out here today?
Everyone that's involved in the city, the fire department, the road department, health and safety, anybody you could imagine would be involved in regular daily operations is involved in this event.
And then, of course, because it's such a high-profile event, and they're the world that we live in, what kinds of contingency plans are in there if things really get kind of crazy out there, from a terrorist to anything else?
I have plans in our operations plans that if something was to go crazy, we have places to put people and stage people and make those arrangements. And I have other stations on standby right now in the event something like that was to happen.
Now, I noticed that you've also got a command post set up. Tell me about how that works and who's in the command post today.
Today we have Jim Blankenship, who's running the command post, and he's in charge of our operations as far as getting people out to their assignments and things like that, and making sure that they're on post, and he conducts a roll call. And in there with him also is somebody from the city, which I think today will be Mike Fleming. I have somebody from the Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Elvira. I have somebody from Amgen, as well as somebody from Media One Sports. And I have somebody from AMR, our American Medical Response, in there as well.
So one of the things that maybe the spectators don't realize is what a huge complement of people have to be there to support the riders as they come through. What's been the reaction of the community, if you know, to the fact that they're going to have all these streets blocked off and they're going to not be able to get from their homes to maybe the place where they want to get something to eat or go shopping? What kind of community reaction have you seen?
Well, I've been here all morning since like around 8 o'clock this morning, and I haven't had one complaint as far as the race goes on today.
Artie, anything else? Anybody who's been really helpful for you, to you in preparing for this event?
I'm surrounded by people that make me look good, and there's key players here at the station between my sergeants and my deputies that work in my office with me that we're going to make this thing happen. It's going to be a great event.
That's great. Good luck today. I hope everything goes smoothly.
Thank you very much.
Well, one of the things I've been impressed with each day is the level of organization and what a well-oiled machine this tour is able to move like. And to see local communities and how well-prepared they are to get ready for a massive event like this, in the city of Santa Clarita, for instance, some of the major thoroughfares in that city were completely shut off today. And the LA County Sheriff's Department did a great job. Now, the city of Santa Clarita also put together a traffic plan showing road closures. And I have it sitting here in front of me. There must be 20, 30 pages. And one of the really incredible things about it is that every single driveway and every single street that was on the route today of the cyclists is marked off so that they made sure that they either had a deputy or an explorer or a reservist or a volunteer posted at every driveway and every street to make sure that not a single pedestrian or car or anyone else ended up out on the race course. Potentially, that could have caused problems for the cyclists, but they did a great job. And this is just one city. Every single city that we went through, and look at the map of California, and there are literally dozens of cities that we went through. Every one of them had to get to this level of organization. And I have been thoroughly impressed. Now, last year's Stage 6 of the Amgen Tour of California went through Thousand Oaks, California, coincidentally, the home of Amgen itself. This year, Thousand Oaks is not the finish line location for Stage 6. Instead, that honor went to the city of Santa Clarita. And again, following up on my local angle today, I had a chance and the honor to interview the mayor of the city of Santa Clarita, Marsha McLean. I'm standing here speaking with her honor, the mayor of the city of Santa Clarita, Marsha McLean. Thank you very much for spending some time with me. Tell me what having the Amgen Tour of California coming through Santa Clarita means to the city.
We're extremely honored to have been chosen to be able to host this Amgen Tour, and we're the sixth stage. The next stage will be taking place in another city, and it's just been really wonderful for us to be able to plan for it. An event such as this and what it's being done for, I mean, Amgen is doing this in order to help cancer research. It's such a worthy cause. And to be able to bring more notoriety, to speak, to bicycling, this is just a great event, and we're very happy to be able to host it.
And of course, putting the spotlight on the city of Santa Clarita has to help as well. How is it helping the local economy and the local businesses?
Well, obviously, bringing 100,000 people to the city of Santa Clarita to be able to enjoy the tour is going to be helping our businesses. And we've been working very hard, not only just for this event, but on other events. We have the AT&T Golf Classic. We have the Cowboy Poetry Festival, which is coming in April. And these types of events bring people a knowledge of what Santa Clarita is all about. We're a beautiful, family-oriented city, and we welcome these types of events.
So now, I was just speaking with the folks at the Sheriff's Department, and they were telling me about all the agencies that are involved here. How long has the planning been going on for this event?
We've been planning for this event for about a year, actually, in order to bring everyone together. I mean, we closed down our main thoroughfares for this event, and that takes extraordinary coordination. Our city staff has been marvelous. The Amgen Tour staff has been wonderful. And, of course, the law enforcement, our sheriff's department, has been magnificent in order to be able to make this a safe and happy event.
The city's been marketing this for quite some time, I've noticed. Tell me how the local residents, because I'm sure your office speaks with them all the time, how they've reacted. Because, of course, there's some access issues for them today, but I think that it's good for the city. How have the local residents felt about it?
I haven't heard any downside as far as the local residents go. They're more than happy to be able to accommodate what it takes, the different traffic patterns, in order to be able to accommodate an event such as this. To be able to bring the children and the family out to this event, I don't think anyone would have a problem with that.
Speaking of the children, as we've gone from city to city, we've seen children up on the stage who have won various competitions. Anything that the kids got involved with here in the city in preparation for this event?
All through the schools and all through all of our events, we have been advertising this event, and the kids have been really excited to be able to do it. We have several kids' events here. We have little bicycle races. We have a whole kids' zone where the kids can come and just really enjoy. And then, of course, all of the vendors here, they're giving away little goodies and chances to win things, and the kids are enjoying it.
Now, I lived here for 13 years. I miss it. I told you that. And it's not just because you're the mayor. For the people who, because I've got thousands of listeners all over the world, tell them a little bit about the city of Santa Clarita and what makes it special.
The city of Santa Clarita was actually formed in 1987. So we're celebrating our 20th year here. And it was to be able to have local self-control for our residents and to meet the needs of the city. And we've been able to do that extremely well. We are a family-oriented community. We are a safe community. Our schools are among the best anywhere, and we just would be a wonderful place for anyone to want to settle.
So because my listeners are cyclists, Santa Clarita is a very bicycle-friendly city. Tell us about that.
We are putting together now a non-motorized master plan. We have a very active bicycle riding community here, and we try to, wherever we can, to make room on the roadways for bicycles. We have an extensive trail system for people to be able to ride their bikes with their families for recreation, and we absolutely encourage people to be able to ride their bikes to work. At our Metrolink stations and on all our buses, we accommodate bikes.
That's excellent. Mayor, thank you for spending the time, and thank you for ordering up this amazing weather. We appreciate that. Have a great time today.
Thank you very much. I plan to enjoy seeing the winner of the sixth stage come in, and thank you very much.
So I guess really what I'm trying to demonstrate here is that not only is the Tour of California and any of these cycling races, whether it's here or abroad, not only is it good for cycling fans, but it's good for the individual communities as well. And they will bend over backwards to bring the cycling fans and the cycling community into their municipalities for a wide variety of reasons. And I have to tell you, I think the city of Santa Clarita did a great job today. They had a family ride this morning. There was a women's race this morning. They had all sorts of activities for the kids. And perhaps as a result of that, the spectators came out for the race. It was a huge crowd once again, no doubt about it. Now, all week long, I've talked to various people who have been displaying at the Lifestyle Expo that's been following the Tour of California from finish line to finish line. And a few nights ago, I ran into the guys who work for the company that manufactured the hip that Floyd Landis got earlier this year. And I thought it would be interesting to learn a little bit more about their technology. And so I had a chance to interview Steve Miller from the company, and here's what he had to say today. So perhaps one of the busiest booths here at the Lifestyle Expo every single day is the Smith & Nephew booth, and I'm talking to Steve Miller, not from the band, from Smith & Nephew. Tell me why your booth is so popular.
Well, we're lucky to have Floyd Landis here. He's been signing autographs in our booth, and it makes me proud as a fan to see all the fans come by and wish him well, ask him about his hip, and ask for an autograph from him.
So what's your connection to Floyd Landis, and why are they asking about his hip?
Well, Floyd Landis got one of our hips. Floyd had hip pain caused by arthritis due to avascular necrosis. And with that, he needed to get his hip replaced. He and his doctors searched around to find what was the best hip for him. We're proud to be the makers of the Birmingham Hip Resurfacing, which is the hip that's intended for younger, more active patients. The younger patients are harder on a total joint because they, even if they're not riders, professional riders like him, they're working every day, they're very, very busy, and they use their hips a lot. The traditional total hip is a hip that's intended for people over 65, and many people are put off. The doctors say wait until then, but with the Birmingham hip, you're able to get rid of your pain, you're able to get back to your activity. And with Birmingham hip, it's almost 10 years now that since it's started being used, so it has one of the longest clinical track records of any of the hips that are on the market today.
So for a layperson, really briefly, what makes your hip different?
Well, it's bone sparing to begin with. Instead of cutting off the upper part of the femur, the leg bone, and putting a stake down the middle and then attaching a ball to it, we just resurface the head of the femur where the cartilage is. The surgeon scrapes off the cartilage that happens to be deficient and then puts on a metal cap and then puts a metal liner inside the pelvis, and the two of those basically refresh the joint and resurface the joint instead of replacing the joint. That allows the patient to be more active, they've got normal feel, normal anatomy, and they can get back to the activities that they're missing.
What other types of joints can your company provide?
Well, Smith & Nephew is one of the larger manufacturers of hips for both the resurfacing, which we're the number one manufacturer of, traditional total hips, and then a broad range of knees, both complete knees and knee implants that only replace a portion of the knee.
So that's real important because my audience, you know, they're active people, and so it's important for them to know that there are options for them that will still allow them to get back on the bike or get back to triathlon.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, the real reason we're here. If Floyd wasn't going to come by, we'd still be happy to be here because it's a great event. We love to support events where active people are involved. Our company feels like we're the number one supplier of implants for people who want to get back to being active. And being here, letting the people know about that and letting them know there are more options than just what may be available in one surgeon's office really provides us a chance to help the community, help the sport, and help the people and understand what their options are.
So I guess your tagline is joint replacement. It's not just for seniors anymore.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Well, besides the planning and the displays at the Lifestyle Expo, the main event of the day was, of course, Stage 6. Now, Stage 6 began at 11 o'clock this morning in Santa Barbara, California, and the stage included 4 King of the Mountains climbs and 2 intermediate sprints along a 105.4-mile course. By the way, a correction from yesterday's show. The final KOM of the day today was at Balcom Canyon between Santa Paula and Santa Clarita. In my coverage of yesterday's individual time trial in Solvang, I kept referring to that climb there as Balcom Canyon. Yesterday's big climb was actually Ballard Canyon. My apologies for the error. Now, shortly after the stage began, the Discovery Channel team saw what appeared to be a potential catastrophe in the making when George Hincapie and Tony Cruz crashed very, very early. Here's Levi Leipheimer discussing what happened in the crash.
It was so fast that I think there was somebody made a quick movement and a touch of wheels. It was right at the front. We were, you know, in the middle of trying to control the race, so there was a few guys attacking, and there was an acceleration, and somebody touched wheels, and I think it was first Tony on the ground, and then George went right over him.
Both Tony and George did get back up and continue the race. After the race, George went to a local hospital where, according to reports, it was confirmed that he had indeed broken his left arm. But you can see in the photos that I've posted up on the Fredcast.com that even at the finish line and the finishing circuits, George was there leading out and helping to pull Levi Leipheimer through the closing moments of the race. So a really valiant effort on the part of George Hincapie and Tony Cruz. Now, while the peloton was slowing to wait for Cruz and Hincapie to catch up again, the attack, which had started very, very early in the race, continued to increase their lead over the peloton. According to Levi Leipheimer, the attacks started extremely early in the race.
Like I said before, everybody came out with all their guns firing. Everybody came out to crack us. And it was a very, very hard race. And we had some misfortune in the beginning. Tony and George hit the deck, went down right in front of me. And I was kind of hoping that guys would, be polite and wait. But, you know, that's racing. That's up for debate. So we were down for a while, and we had to wait a long time before they could come back because the group was split in two. And you saw at the end, I'm sure you saw their faces, and there's not much more I can say than what you saw out there. I mean, they really dug deep.
By the time the riders reached the finish line and the start of the first of 3 finishing circuits, there were 9 riders in the lead with well over a minute advantage over the peloton. They were Stuart O'Grady from Team CSC, Matthew Heyman from Rabobank, Michael Rogers from T-Mobile, Bram Tankink from Quickstep, Giovanni Visconti from Quickstep, Enrico Gasparato from Liquigas, Josip Jufrepu from Predictor Lotto, Victor Rapinski from Navigators, and Danny Pate from Slipstream. At this point, Discovery needed to make sure that they made up as much time as possible, and indeed they did, with the help of the domestic HealthNet team, and Levi Leipheimer was quick to credit HealthNet for the help that they gave Discovery in finally closing the gap on that break and absorbing them in the final third of the 3 finishing circuits. So then it was quite obvious. By the time the peloton came back around on McBean Parkway, there was going to be a sprint. And here's the sprint's winner and stage winner, JJ Hiato of Team CSC, describing those last few 100 meters.
Coming into the last K was a little bit, I mean, no one really had a full team in there. So I just find a little bit my own way with the young boys again. And I ended up in third horse of wheel like 500 meters ago. So he was in a pretty good position. And from there to the landing, it was a little bit headwind, a little bit up. So I weighed a little bit longer than usual.
Well, I guess that waiting a little bit longer than usual worked out for JJ, as JJ Hiato of Team CSC takes the stage victory inches in front of T-Mobile's Greg Henderson, and again just inches in front of Team Quickstep's world champion Paolo Bettini. As JJ said, he had grabbed the wheel of Tor Hushovd from Crédit Agricole. Tor took fourth in today's stage, and in fifth, Predictor Lotto's Freddy Rodriguez from the United States. Well, after today's stage, Levi Leipheimer will, of course, retain the yellow leader's jersey in the 2007 Amgen Tour of California. And he spent a little bit of time talking about his team and why he thinks it is that they've been so successful this week.
Now you know why this team has won 7 Tour de France's. I mean, this is a very strong team. Everybody came out today to make us lose. It's not unusual. I mean, you know, I've been on the other side of that where you really want to crack the leader, crack his team. But like I said, it's no fluke that this team has won the Tour de France 7 times. They know what they're doing. And I told myself that, but, you know, it was stressful.
As you probably know, this is the first time that Levi has had a chance to race with Ivan Basso on the team. And there was some concern early on that when Levi had signed with Discovery early and then Basso came on later at the end of the year, there was some concern about who the team leader was going to be and whether or not there'd be a little bit of animosity between the two racers. And here's Levi talking about what his relationship is with Ivan Basso now that he's raced with him on his team.
Definitely. I think Ivan is a great guy. One of the nicest, most generous people I've ever met. And now that I've gotten to know him more, it's a pleasant, I don't want to use the word surprise because I think that can be taken in different contexts, but it's been very, very good. I think we've become very good friends. I mean, obviously when someone sacrifices as much as he has for me, that goes a long ways in, solidifying a friendship and a bond.
And of course, finally, the question on everybody's minds is Levi's victory assured? Well, here's Levi talking about what tomorrow will bring.
You know, I know that it's viewed as an easy stage, a bit of a whatever parade, but no, we're going to stay focused, and it's not over until it's over. And this race this year has been much harder than last year. So every day has been a battle, so I'm not going to count on tomorrow being easy. I think it'll be very fast, possibly windy. So we're going to stay focused and look forward to the finish.
Well, after Levi and JJ left the press conference today, Pat McQuaid, the president of the International Cycling Union, or the UCI, had his chance in the hot seat. And you know, the question that was first and foremost on everyone's mind was, what about this feud that's going on between the UCI, the Pro Tour, and the Grand Tours, namely the Tour de France, or the organizers of the Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia, and the Vuelta a España? Well, first of all, Pat wanted to mention how fantastic he's felt the Tour of California is this year, and here's what Pat had to say about that.
There's a lot of things here that European races can learn from. Likewise, these organizers here can learn likewise from European races, but you know, it's a quid pro quo situation, and I think I'm you know, very, very happy in particular with Amgen's and AEG's continued commitment to this event, and I see nothing but a wonderful growth and a wonderful future for it, because it's obviously even only in its second year, as Levi said earlier on, with the, you know, building a history of an event, it's the history has started. You know, the acceptance of the event has started. You can see the people on the roadside. We saw on that last climb up the canyon today, I mean, the Pope and everybody was out there to greet the riders. And you know, I think you've arrived when you've got to that stage. So, no, seriously speaking, it the event. I'm very, very happy to come back to this event that is growing and is going to be a, in years to come, a major event on UCI international calendar.
Okay, that last comment was actually huge, because it's something that we've talked about all week. Could the Tour of California actually become a Pro Tour event, one of the events that all 20 Pro Tour teams would be invited to and would count toward the final points at the end of the year? And here's what Pat had to say on that subject.
But I do think, and I do firmly believe, that the sport can go, and the Pro Tour can go global, and this is an event which would be very much in the sights of a global pro tour, because the American continent is very important, not just to development of cycling in America, but also to world cycling. America, United States, is one of the founding members of the UCI. American cyclists have been very successful in Europe over the past, many, many years, and that needs to continue. But also, as Steve said, the ability to bring the best cyclists in the world here to race in America periodically, or particularly for a Pro Tour race when you have the whole 20 teams coming here, I say 20 and I mean 20, would be important, and important to the development of the sport here in America, and likewise, from that point of view, important to the development of the sport worldwide. And I think the partners are here, the correct partners are here in this event, in terms of Medalist, AEG, and Amgen, to bring that forward.
Now, that was a very long answer to a very short question, but I firmly believe, based on the intent, that the answer was yes, but they have to get through the current troubles that they have right now with the Grand Tours. And on that subject, here's what Pat McQuaid had to say.
First of all, let me explain that this is not a situation which has been brought about by the UCI. It's been brought about by ASO. It's been brought about by an organizer who refuses to accept the rules. And as a government, which we are, a government of cycling, as a regulatory authority of cycling, we cannot accept that people will refuse to obey the rules of the sport and the rules of governance. If we do that, then we lead to anarchy and we lead to a complete breakdown of the control of cycling worldwide. So from the point of view of that situation, this has been created by ASO, and that needs to be remembered. I had a meeting with ASO last week to try and find a resolution and try and find common ground and find trying a way forward. But that meeting was based on, first of all, the fact that they must accept the rules. They refused to do that, and the meeting broke down. It didn't make any progress. Once that happened, they then went and put their race on the national calendar under some obscure French law. They put their race on the national calendar of the French Federation with the assistance and collusion, so to speak, of the French Federation. And then I was left no alternative. The UCI was left with no alternative but to declare that under the rules of the UCI, and again, we stick legally or legalistically to the rules of the sport, which is what we're trying to enforce. Under our rules, Pro Tour teams cannot take place, nor professional continental teams cannot take place in a race on the national calendar of a federation. It has to be on the international calendar. And that left me with no alternative but to tell the Pro Tour teams that they cannot go to Paris-Nice. That's the situation at the moment. I did have a meeting with the teams, with the six or seven Pro Tour team managers that are here. I had a meeting with them this morning. They understand and are completely behind the position of the UCI. They're prepared to accept the decision of the UCI that they cannot take part in that race. And that's where we are at the moment.
Now, I, for one, do not believe that this is the last we're going to hear on this subject. Remember, the Pro Tour teams are having a meeting next Friday in Brussels to discuss this situation. And with ASO taking this stance, and remember, ASO is the organizer of the Tour de France, I do not believe this is the last we're going to hear of this. I think that ASO will have more to say. I think the UCI will have more to say. And as Patrick Lefebvre, the director sportif of the Quickstep Intergenic team, said earlier this week, the teams will have something to say. Remember his words. You can't make a film without the actors, and we pay the actors. So there's a lot more left in this battle, and I will bring you the news as soon as I've got it. In the meantime, that's going to do it for today and for our Stage 6 coverage of the 2007 Amgen Tour of California. Tomorrow is the final stage of the race. It's going to be a bit of a letdown for me. I've had an amazing week, and I hope that you've enjoyed the coverage as well. If you'd like to send me an email, please do so. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. Of course, voicemails are also always welcome, and the Fredcast listener hotline is area code 206-203-FRED. And finally, don't forget to visit the website. That's www.thefredcast.com. I've already posted my Stage 6 photos. I've got a great picture of JJ Hayato as he's just finished crossing the finish line and he realizes he's won the stage. And I've also got a great shot of George Hincapie, remember, broken arm and all, leading and pulling Levi Leipheimer through those finishing circuits. I'll be back again tomorrow with Stage 7 coverage. Enjoy your Sunday. I hope you're enjoying the coverage, but most of all, enjoy the ride.